This morning's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Further, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, for make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm going to pray as I start this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray you be with us now as we think about this passage from Luke and what it means for us today. Amen. I want to just start by asking you a question. Have you ever been waiting to hear something? You know, tap, tap every day on the table. When am I going to hear? Impatient. Oh, the agony that is in you that you're waiting to hear this thing. Maybe you're waiting for news. I remember back in the early 2000s when I was applying for universities, and you were waiting every day, coming down and checking the post and seeing, have you heard? Have you had the news? Or when you're waiting to hear about a job you've applied for, and every day you're refreshing your emails, have I got an interview? Is my phone ringing because they want to offer me the job? Or maybe you're waiting for your child to call and say, Mom, Dad, your grandchild's been born. Come and meet the new baby. Or perhaps you've sometimes waited for a person. You've waited to hear from a friend, longing to hear from them. You haven't heard from them for a long time. Maybe there's been a broken relationship and you're hoping it can be restored. You've sent something and you're waiting to hear back from them. Maybe we've spent time waiting for God, waiting to hear from God about something that we have been praying about for many years, and we're in that sense of longing. We're waiting for God to speak to us. We've probably all experienced a period of waiting. And what does God say about this? Let's look at our passage from Luke's Gospel. And before we think about what it says, I want to think about the context of this passage. At the beginning of the passage, we have mentions of these big hitters, these big men who we'll come back to later in the Gospel. Caesar, Pontius Pilate, well, we've heard of him. We know that he's going to pop up again, don't we? Herod the Tetrarch, Philip the Tetrarch, Trachonitis, very good pronunciations, I'm not as good. Lysanias, another Tetrarch, and the high priest Annas and Caiaphas. Well, Annas and Caiaphas we'll come back to again. These are big, powerful men. And they're men, the Jewish priests and the Roman emperors, who are running Judea. And this is a time of oppression for the Jewish people. This is a time where they are under the Roman Empire, when they don't have the freedoms that they want to have, and when they are waiting for the promised Messiah, the Messiah that God has said will be coming to them, waiting, just like us. But they have been waiting, and there has been no word from God for 400 years. The Jewish people are waiting. They're longing to hear from God. And in this time, the word of God came to John. And who is John? Well, John is a nobody. We've had all of these amazingly strong and powerful men, the rulers mentioned at the beginning of passage, but the word of God doesn't come to them. The word of God comes to John. Imagine it a bit like this. It's 1940. Stalin is the ruler of Russia. Hitler is the ruler of Germany. Churchill is the ruler of Britain. And the word of God came to Paul, a pastor in Germany. John is a nobody. But we also know that there have been promises made about John, because he is the son of Zechariah. And in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, the angel has come to Zechariah and has said, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will prepare the way for him to give his people knowledge of salvation." So this John, this baby who's grown up now, he has this prophecy from God over his life, and he's coming into it. And what will he be preaching? He will be preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is the word which is coming to the people after so long waiting to hear from God. This is what God wants to speak to them. He wants to speak to them, and he wants to call them to repentance in order that they might have salvation. And then we have this passage, which comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. And as this is written, the people who heard it would have thought and remembered the experience into which Isaiah 40 was written. Because this is the passage which begins, "Comfort, O comfort my people." And I remember preaching on that passage from Isaiah 40 this time last year. And we need to understand the backdrop of what was happening in Isaiah 40 so we can understand why it is so significant that this is what John was speaking to the people. And this was the role that he was given by God. And it's a bit like we have to zoom out and we have to see the backdrop. On Friday, I went to Loughborough, and my sister-in-law teaches at a school, and they do something every year called Tableau. And it's a carol service where they read through the different passages that tell us the Christmas story. And then at different moments, during different passages or during different songs, they open the curtains on the stage and they have recreated famous pieces of art of the Christmas story. And my mind was blown. I got to see my 4-year-old nephew play Jesus, which ended with the curtains closing and him going, bye-bye, which he was not meant to do. He was meant to be still, but he is 4. And some of those paintings had the most beautiful backdrops. They recreated miniature statues of Simeon with Jesus, and they had O Holy Night, and I had tears in my eyes as we could see all the stars of Bethlehem. So what is the backdrop that is behind this passage in Isaiah? Well, the Israelites are in captivity. They're in Babylon, and they are longing for God. And God comes through Isaiah with this prophecy. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every mountain shall be filled in, and every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people shall see God's salvation. And they are comforted by this message. This message is telling them that they had not been forgotten. They had been waiting for God, but God had not forgotten them, and God was speaking to them, and he was going to send them back to Israel, back home. And not only that, but he was going to forgive them. He was going to forgive them for the sins which had led them into captivity. The Lord had not forgotten his people, and he spoke to them. Just like in our passage from Luke, the Lord had not forgotten his people, and he spoke to them through John, speaking that the Messiah was coming and that John was to prepare the way for him to bring salvation. Because the good news for us today is that God speaks to us. And when God speaks to us, it can change lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can speak to you today and that it can change lives? I've got a picture now. This, you may recognize this picture. This comes from the 1989 in Germany, at the point when the Berlin Wall is going to come down. And do you know what started off the protests for the Berlin Wall to come down? God spoke. God spoke to a pastor in Leipzig called Christian Führer. And he told him that, and he started every Monday evening praying peace prayers in his church. And they were just prayers, so the authorities were not bothered by it. And in 1988, he invited 50 different people to a discussion of what was happening in Germany. And 600 people came. And more people were coming to these peace prayers, until in May 1989, the authorities cut off the church by barricading it, but more people came. On October the 7th, there were 4,000 peacefully protesting about the end of East Germany. and by October the 9th, there were 70,000. And that started with the word of the Lord coming to Christian Führer and encouraging him to begin these prayers, these peaceful prayers for an ending of their oppression. Well, that's one human example, but of course we must look to Jesus and know that the greatest way that God has spoken to us was in sending us Jesus. We read that passage from John's Gospel. Jesus is the Word made flesh, the Word through which God speaks to us and tells us about who he is and invites us into a relationship with a God who speaks, a God who can be known by every one of us. So what are we being invited to today? Well, I think that God is saying, I want a relationship with you. I'm speaking to you. Are you listening? And maybe after the service, as we have coffee, we might have a chance to share with someone a time in our lives when God has spoken to us and it's brought a profound change. One that I can think of is when I was kind of muddling along as a teacher and not really sure what was going to happen. And I was sitting in a church weekend away, and I really clearly heard God's voice in my head saying, I want you to get ordained. And at that moment, one of my best friends called Lucy, literally, I thought it, the little word was in my head, and my friend Lucy said, Kate, have you ever thought about ordination? And I was like, oh, okay. It'd be lovely for us to share with one another times when we have felt that God has spoken to us today. Well, you might be saying, no, I don't think that God speaks today. Like, it's not been my experience. It's not something that happens. You know, I've been in this time of not hearing from God. And I wonder, is there something that's drowning him out? I bought these headphones here as a kind of reminder that for us to be hearing God, we need to be listening. Is there anything in your life which maybe you're focusing on more than focusing on listening to God? Because I believe that God spoke to the Israelites when they were in captivity in Babylon. God spoke to the Jewish people when they were longing for salvation, when they were longing for the Messiah. God sent his son Jesus, and through that we can encounter him, and we can know him, and we can hear him. And when we have a relationship with God today, I believe that God speaks to us in profound ways that can change lives. Well, what would it look like for us today to be listening to God, to be hearing God speaking? Well, I think that it would be moving from having a shopping list of prayer, which I can be very guilty of, into being people who are giving space in our days to listen to God, who are maybe putting some Christian music on and just spending time focusing on God, or putting a candle, lighting a candle, and then just sitting in the silence and the stillness to hear God and to hear what he is saying. You could download the Lectio 365 app on your phone and listen to that in the morning or the evening. I had a friend who I pray with, and she said to me, Kate, are you sitting at the reservoir of God every day? Because it's so easy to drown him out with the busyness of our lives. But if we believe that knowing God means God will speak to us and lives will be changed, then we need to prioritize the times in our days when we can hear what God is saying. Let's just imagine what that would look like, what it would look like for us to have the kind of relationship with God where he spoke to us, Wouldn't that be amazing to feel that closeness? To feel that intimacy with the God who made the world, who knows us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. That's God's invitation to us. And if you're not someone who knows God, but you're here today, then do come and chat to Will or I about what it would look like for you to encounter God and to meet God and to have the kind of relationship with God where he could speak to you today. And let's remember that at Christmas, we especially have this moment to remind ourselves that we are not waiting for God, because God sent his son Jesus to earth to bring about our salvation and to be the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, so that we could encounter God and know him and hear him speaking to us today. I'll pray as I finish. God, thank you that you speak today. Thank you that all throughout history you have never forgotten your people. God, I just pray that we could be people who want to spend time listening to you. Amen.